We look forward to our beloved brother, how God has spoken to us through him this week, and we magnify God for doing so. We look to the Lord for once again using him as his vessel to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Brother Bearden.
Good evening, folks. It's a joy and a delight to be here. I bless the Lord for his presence, for his power, and for the wonderful salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank him for how that he has helped in the meeting and visited with us in many ways as we have been here. I think God's directing me in a kind of a different path tonight. So I want you to open your Bibles to the book of John. And I'm going to the book of John. And basically the message will come from John 3 and beginning in verse 1. But before we do that, I do want to say a few things about chapter 2. I want to preach tonight on the new birth. Without two births, the physical birth, and then the spiritual birth, there's no hope for glory. No hope to gain heaven, and no hope to miss hell. Only salvation is wrought in Christ Jesus. Many are deceived, as we witness here tonight on foreign soil. That's amazing. How many people are led in the wrong direction. But we have the same problems in our land in a different way. And much of it, just like there, actually is all around religion. Religion without Jesus Christ is nothing but will keep you from getting to Christ. And the Bible said in John 2 and verse 22, when therefore he, the Lord Jesus, was risen from the dead, the difference in all religion and the religion of the risen Christ, the true Christian, is that we have a risen Savior. And I bless him that so. The Bible said his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures. You cannot be saved apart from believing the scriptures. You cannot be saved apart from belief in the pure word of God, which is so wonderful and so good. The Bible goes on to say, and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. I want to stop right there. I can never remember a time in my life that I did not believe in his name. I always believed in God. I'm talking about mentally. I always believed in God, and I always believed in the Lord Jesus mentally because I had been taught that. But I will say this, that's not enough. And you find that in this portion of the word before we come to the main part of the message. So if you'll know this, the Bible said when they saw the miracles, which he did, you know what they was looking for? They're looking for the miracles, and they missed Jesus. It doesn't matter what you trust in this world, if your faith is not in the risen Christ, the blood-bought Savior that paid for your sins and my sins upon the old rugged cross. Then you have no genuine faith. Your salvation is no better than the object of your salvation. And the object of our salvation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So they believed in miracles, which he did, but they did not believe in him. You may believe in religion. You may believe in a lot of things, but if your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, you have no hope. Church membership does not save you. And the Bible said in verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. I heard a preacher years ago preach down in the state of Mississippi. And he said to the pastor there, and his daughter, it appeared, was under Holy Spirit conviction, and she came and she bowed and she prayed and she said that she had received Christ as Savior. And the preacher said, I noticed that the pastor was not too excited about that. And I asked him, why are you not excited about the fact that your daughter has made a profession of faith in Christ? He said, because she has done this before. She has done this before, and I want to know if the Lord has committed himself unto her. You must come and commit yourself unto Christ. The Bible goes on to say, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knows your heart. He knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. You know, he knows your uprising, your down sittings. He knows right where you are tonight. And if you're hiding behind religion and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say ditch your religion, throw it away. Come to the only one that can save you from your sins, because you are a sinner that needs to be saved by grace. There's only two kinds of sinners in the world. One of them is the sinner that's lost forever unless he comes to Christ. And then it is people like you and I that have been truly saved by the grace of God that's been born into the family of God. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord Jesus? The Bible goes on to say, then in verse 25, and they need not any should testify man, for he knew what was in man. He knows what's in me. He knows what's in you. He knows what's in each and every one of us. And you know the Bible, of course, I like the chapter divisions. But sometimes it's good to read just before the beginning of the next chapter. So I'm here tonight to preach on John 3:1 and following. You must be born again. Why do men preach on that so often? Mr. Whitfield said when he came to America and he preached in America, they said he preached, you must be born again, over 3,000 times. I think I'm right on that. My mind kind of went blank. Did that ever happen to you? Well, you maybe are not as old as I am. Sometime I have a senior moment. But regardless of how many times they asked him, why, Mr. Whitfield, do you preach so often on you must be born again? I have heard that one of the great evangelists, supposedly, that covered America and many other nations said that he believed that probably his professions of faith, his converts was maybe one out of five, maybe, that truly got born of the Spirit of God. Mr. Torrey said in his day when he preached that he believed that the people he preached to, that only there was probably 85% of them that did not know Christ. J. Vernon McGee said that in his day, all the people he preached to, that he believed probably 90% of them did not know Christ. I want to ask you a question tonight. Without a doubt in your mind, whether you are middle-aged or you're elderly age, or where you are a teenager, or regardless of what age you are, do you know without a doubt that you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever been born from above? The Bible said in verse 1, chapter 3, there was the man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The Bible said the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Jesus, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Here he is, and he's in this condition, and he's religious, but he looks at Jesus as a miracle worker, but he does not see the fact that Jesus is not only the miracle worker, but he's the Son of God. Let me give you a little something about Nicodemus. This is not salvation. I want to talk to you first of all about the man. He was religious, but lost. Are you religious, but lost? At one time in my life, and this is one reason I really want to preach on the new birth. When I was 10 years of age, I knew I did not want to go to hell. And I tried to save myself, I guess. And I made a profession of faith. But there was nothing happened except what I did. I did not come to Christ. I did not get born of the Spirit. And for 10 years, I went as a professing Christian, but I was lost without Christ. And I am convinced tonight that there's people in this building that's made professions that do not know Christ. He was a respected man. That's not salvation. He was a ruler. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Some 70 of them. And I believe he was no doubt a good man. But he was lost. He was a ruler, but he was lost. He was rich, but he was lost. But one thing about him, it seems to me, he come to the place that he's honest. Will you listen to me closely? You will never get your life right with God until you get honest with yourself and honest with God. If you don't ever do that, you'll never find your way. It is so important. And I know this runs the meeting kindly with a heavy load in a different direction. But I was thinking today about people that's perishing and people that's going to hell. And you notice when I come to the pulpit that I bring water because I have to take medication because of my sinuses. And it dries my throat. And sometimes when I'm preaching, I have to take some water in. I don't like to do that. It's embarrassing to me. But my throat gets so dry. And you know what God spoke to me about? Even this afternoon when I was praying and getting ready to come here, I thought about the people that's in hell that do not know the Lord. What about the rich man that's in hell? That's not a parable. That's two men. One of them went to heaven, the other went to hell. And he wanted just a drop of water that it might cool his tongue. But Lazarus, though he was a poor man, he was a rich man. One of them was rich in this world, and the other one is rich in the world to come. He's already enriched because he went to Abraham's bosom. I'm trying to move as fast as I can with this. He was educated. He had the culture. He had all of that. But he didn't know Jesus. He went to Jesus and he said, "We know." See, you can know a lot of things about religion. You can know what you think, a lot of things about God. But until God confronts you, until God confronts you, and God in revelation reveals himself to you and shows you that you are a sinner and that you are lost and you're without the God of glory and you need to come to Christ. I think this would be in order at this particular time in the message. When I was 20 years of age, they were having a meeting down at the little country church. And I went to that meeting every night, but because at that time I was seeing my wife and I didn't really go because I was interested in the meeting. I was interested in seeing my wife. At that time, she was not my wife. So in this particular night, I went down to the little country church, but she lived up on the hill and her daddy would let her go with me every night because we were going to church. So I went up there and her mom come to the door and said to me, Sue's not feeling well at all tonight. She's not going to be able to go. The reason why, I didn't know it till I got there. We didn't have phones in those days. In fact, we didn't have much of anything way back there. But we knew something about the Lord. And that's the thing that's important. Of all the things that may be important to you, there is nothing as important as knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing in this world that is important as where you are going to spend eternity. I get a little loud about this because I'm stirred up about it. And so I went down to the country church and I sat down on pew 3 with my grandmother. I don't even know what the preacher preached that night because God had been talking to me since back about August. And I didn't hardly know what God was doing. I didn't understand the Lord. But he's so great that he's so patient, he was drawing me to himself. And well, that night he began to talk to me. I began to reason with him. You know, you can reason with God before you ever come to know him in salvation. You better do some reasoning about this Bible and about eternity. Because this life is short. Though I've lived these years, it's been like a vapor. You don't have long, and you may have a lot less than you think. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't put it off another night or another day. Come to him. They gave, in those days, they'd give people opportunity if you need to come to the mourner's benches. They didn't call them altars. They called them mourner's benches. You know why they were mourner's benches? Because you ought to mourn over your sin. I don't remember what the preacher preached about, but I knew the Spirit of God was dealing with me. Is the Spirit of God ever dealt with you? Do you see yourself as a lost sinner? That night, to make the long story short, I come to know Christ. He saved me by his marvelous grace, and I bless him for that. But not only that, He said, we know you come from God, for no man can do these miracles without doing it, except God be with him. He had a profession that he knew something about God, but he did not know God. You know why? He was a depraved sinner. With all of his religion, he is a depraved sinner. He was not only a depraved sinner, but he was dead in his trespasses, and he was dead in his sin. Great Ephesian letter in chapter number 2. What has he done to us? He's quickened us. You cannot be saved apart from the quickening power of Almighty God in your soul. He's quickened us. The word quickened means he made us alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. Are you alive in Christ? We that know the Lord, we are alive in Christ. Oh, that God would arrest somebody tonight with the power of the Holy Spirit. God would draw them to a saving knowledge of Christ. This man was in deep need. With all his religion, he is in deep need. With my baptism, with my profession of faith, with my name on a church roll, I didn't know how needed I was until I was face to face with Jesus Christ. In the power of the Holy Spirit, I did not see him, but I knew it was God. You cannot meet God and ever in your life not remember meeting God. Somebody said, well, I don't know where I'm saved or not. If you ever meet God and he comes into your life, you will know that you met the eternal one. Is that right, my brethren, sisters in the Lord? You better believe that's right. You meet the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. He created the heavens and he created the earth. And he created everything that's good that we enjoy in these days. He's God. Beside him, there is none other. All of the gods that's out here that some of you young folks and maybe middle-aged folks, maybe you've been going after those gods all these years, but you need to meet the real God, and his name is Christ. Jesus, he's the Lord of glory. Hallelujah, I'm glad I met him. I'm so pleased that I know him. I know. Somebody said, well, you folks that think you know so much, well, I know where I came from, I know where I am, and I know where I'm going. That's a lot more than a lot of people know. You know why? Because I met the Lord and I got his book. I don't know everything, but he teaches me what I do need to know as I walk with him. I get stirred up and I may lose my place. I'm kind of like they're talking about Brother Morris. I kind of like to, you know, there's something about me when I preach, it just kind of gets all over me. And now everybody's not that way. I've heard men that, you know, they just stand in the tracks and they just give you out just one shovelful after another. But we are all different creatures, aren't we? But we're all made in the image of God. Young people, listen. You're made in the image of God. There's no other thing on this planet or in heaven or in earth that's made like man. Made like you are. You're made in the image of God Almighty. I love that. And I'm glad that I got born to the Spirit of God. So, you have the man. Let's look at the miracle in verse 3 through 6. The Bible said Jesus. You know, Jesus don't fool around religion too much. I mean, he just gets right to the point, don't he? And Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Nicodemus, verily, verily. You see those verily, verilies. All the Bible's important. But when you see those double, verily, verily, this is the truth. Nicodemus, this is the truth. Elderly folks, middle-aged folks, young people, this is the truth. Verily, verily, what are you so verily about? I say unto thee, this is the God of heaven speaking to you tonight through the voice of this preacher. You know, it really doesn't matter. In one sense, if you don't hear anything but this rough voice of a preacher that's been preaching now for 66 years, it won't mean anything to you. You may be really bored to death. But if you hear the voice of God tonight, that's what is important. That's what I'm praying for, that you hear and hear the voice of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, except he be born from above, unless he be born of the Spirit of God through the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, he's lost forever. Except a man be born again, what does he say? Except he be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we fuss at sinners a lot of times, but they don't see the kingdom of God. I didn't see the kingdom of God until the God of the kingdom come to me. And then when he come to me and he brought me to himself, and I didn't understand all that's going on, but when he gets in the mix, you just follow, you'll be all right. And I tell you right now, and I know I'm just a country preacher, but you know, I'm so safe tonight. As they'd say down in the state of Georgia and Tennessee, you know, I'm so saved, it's plum pitiful. God has saved me from my sin. If he didn't save you from your sin, you're not saved. You're judging me, preacher. No, I'm preaching. You're already judged. If you're not saved from your sin, that don't mean you're going to be perfect. But you will hate it when you sin. I guess it's all right to tell a few things about what you found out about yourself after you got saved, isn't it? I worked down at that service station. I worked hard. I worked 12 hours a day. They brought some old tires in there, and I was already supposed to be at home. And I guess I worked at least an hour, hour and a half overtime, and I got so tired I was aggravated. I didn't use God's name in vain, but all of a sudden I said something, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't remember what I said, but it was very short, and by that time, the Spirit of God broke my heart. And I looked around, I thought the whole city was looking after me, or looking at me. When God gets in you, you are different. And if you're not different, God's not in you. Were you different when you made that profession? Were you so different that you could not wait till you got to church to see the saints and enjoy together with them the fellowship and hear the men of God preach the word and hear the good music? Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to know Jesus. Let's look at it. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see how blind he was? You see how depraved he was? We are the same way. Unto God gives us light. God enlightens us through his word and by the person of the Holy Spirit. And when he enlightens us, he shows us that we are a sinner. Have you ever saw yourself as a sinner? If God ever shows you how unrighteous you are and how much of a sinner you really are, you will begin to seek the Lord. You'll want to come to him. You'll want results. You'll want help for your soul. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you? Has God ever spoke to you in that sense? Jesus answered, verse 5, verily, verily, there she verily is again. Now this is not me talking to you, but this is the Lord. Verily, verily, and Jesus makes it so plain that anyone can get it. I say unto thee. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, he's not telling you that water baptism saves you. We do not believe in water baptism is essential to regeneration. And these water folks that believe the water, now there's two schools to this particular word water right here. And you can go back and forth, but you know he's talking about two births. So some believe, and maybe this is what he's saying, but what I'm going to say, I hope I'm not going to mess things up, but I don't think you can be wrong hardly ever which way you look at it. There has to be a water birth for your physical birth. When you're born physically into this life. And then there has to be a spiritual birth by through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that borns you into the family of God. And if that's not happened to you, you are not born again. In my case, I usually apply it to the Word and the Spirit, because you cannot get saved apart from the Word, and you cannot get saved apart from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does the convicting power. It's sad what's going on in America. Now, if you've prayed this prayer, pray after me now. And all you got to do is pray this prayer. And if you prayed this prayer and they'll go down the line and tell you just how to pray, then you call now and somebody will talk to you and they'll send you some literature. And since you're saved now, everything's all right. You're ready for heaven. That's the most ungodly thing in this world. People that do that are as ungodly as they can be. You better leave them alone. Don't, if you're in a church that's anywhere around that, get your children out of there and go to one that you've got a Bible preaching church where they preach the Word of God. God has to do the work. We just cooperate with Him. There's a preacher friend of mine. He had a deacon, and when he first went to where he was pastoring there, he had the deacon and he's riding down the road together. And he said to the deacon, tell me about when you got saved, he said. I went to Bible school. And the preacher said, I was waiting for him to tell me about his conversion, and that's all he had to say about it. And you know what? By the time the preacher settled in there a little bit, he was a thorn in his flesh from then on. When people is nothing but a thorn in your flesh all the time, you better watch that group. They may have crept in on a wire. These that creep in unaware, you better watch them. We got a lot of that going on these days. Are you still with me back there? Are we still doing all right? I sure hope so. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm just trying to preach. All right, watch it. Except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'm glad I'm in the kingdom tonight because the Lord put me in the kingdom. If you're not saved, you're not in the kingdom. Oh, that you'd come to know Him, that you'd recognize who the Savior is. and come to know him. There's so much that could be preached in this. So, the miracle that's working. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible said, the natural man, that's the one that's born first, understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's the only way you can know. God has to enlighten. You cannot know without the Bible being preached and the Spirit of God enlighten you. You got to get the word in your heart, the seed of the word. And I'm glad the seed of the word got in my heart. My grandmother used to look me in the face and she would say to me, Ray, son, I wished you had what I have got. And I am praying that you will get what I have got. I wasn't sure what she had because I didn't understand all that. But I knew she had something that I did not have. And I knew that because of who she told me she got it from, that I sure did need it. Have you ever met Jesus yet? Have you ever met Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can have Sunday school pins that goes all the way from here to the end of your toes. That's not salvation. You can tithe and you can give offerings, and you ought to, especially if you're saved. But that is not salvation. I preached in a church back in the hills, Tennessee, the other week. And I preached a salvation message. And there was a woman began to weep. And I, because I'd preached about judgment that was coming and all of that, and I thought that lady's weeping, and she's weeping over the fact she's got family members and they're lost. And so she wept a while, and the preacher closed the service and he went over where she was and spoke to her and said, is something going on with you? She said, oh yes, preacher. And she was in her 70s. She said, the Spirit of God's been dealing with me for maybe 18 months, 2 years now. And it's shown me I'm lost. And he told me, you know, at the end of the service, and I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but he said, I thought was probably maybe the best woman in the church. Good morals don't save you. But if you ever get saved, you'll quit your wild ways and sowing those wild oats. You young people, if you think it's all right to say you're saved and live immoral, you are bad wrong. In fact, it's not all right if you're not saved. You're destroying your purity and you're destroying your life, and it will cost you either way. Even if God is merciful to save you out of your sin. Young men and young women in this place tonight, when you lose your innocence and your purity, it will cost you. When you commit fornication, you sin against your own body. And I didn't know I was going to say that, but I'm glad I did. You're going to have to repent of that. There's no place in glory. It's holy where God's people is going. You got any holiness in you? Oh, my. Oh, my. Surely, surely. Oh, he was depraved. He was dead. He was blind. He had no discernment. He was hopeless lost. And that's where you are if you don't know the Lord. You don't know the Lord. That's where you are. All right, watch this. That which is born to the flesh is flesh. See that? That's your physical birth. And that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Boy, Watch verse 7. Now we've had the man, and we've looked at the miracles, and now Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There's got to be a second birth. Praise God for the night that Jesus took me out of Adam and put me in Christ. You ever been taken out of Adam and put in Christ? You ever been born of the Spirit of God? How about I hope you would. But you know, there's not only this, but there's a mystery in the whole matter. Verse 8, the wind bloweth. Where it listeth, thou can hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell when is it cometh or where it goeth. So is ever once born of the Spirit. I really wrestle with salvation. You know what I think, and I really pondered this, and I wish I'd have pondered it more before now and preached it a lot. You know what I believe my problem was? I was trying to save myself. Listen to me, I'm about to wind it up. Ephesians 2:7-8. For by what? For by grace, the unmerited favor of God. You never can do enough. You can never give enough. You can never do enough. You can never work enough. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved. And this is a part you need to get. And that not of yourself. And that's where men, we got all this humanism and telling people that they're all right if they make professions, and don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not saved. The only person that can really tell you're saved is this book and the person of the Holy Spirit. When he told me I'm saved, I know I'm saved. And really, you can doubt all you want to. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded to believe it. He's able to keep that against that day. And, you know, I get stirred up about this. Hallelujah to God. You know what I'm talking about? Do you remember when you met him? Oh, praise God. The wind bloweth. I talked to the preacher about it. Because I had done everything I knew to do, and I thought I'd repented. I'd done everything. You see, sometimes you just need a little instruction from a good man of God. That preacher, he come over and he said to me, why did you come? And I said, I come to be saved. And he said, well, are you saved? And I said, I don't think so. I said, I asked God to save me. See, here I am trying to save myself. But you ought to ask God to save you. For whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. There's just one name. It don't make any difference what Oprah said. She said there's many ways, but Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except he come by me. So when you hear these false prophets telling you there's many ways, there's not many ways. There's just one way, and that's Christ. If you don't know him, you're not in the way. The wind bloweth. And you know what that wise preacher done? Wise country preacher. He opened that Bible. You know what he opened it to? John 5:24. There's some more of them verily, verilys. Two of them. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. I say unto you. He that heareth my word. This is the word. He that heareth my word and believeth And that carries continuous action. I believed 66 years ago, and I'm still believing tonight. It's a continuous action. Believeth. English teacher tell you that means action. Continuous action. He that believeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Hath, present tense. Somebody said, well, it just gradually. Well, you know, there's all the kind of opinions, but I remember when I got saved, it didn't happen. It had been happening a little bit gradually, but when I really got saved, I had it. Has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. I want to tell you something. That wind blew that night. That wind blew that night. And he, you know what that preacher did? He looked me, pastors. He looked me straight in my eyes. You know what he said to me? I told him I'd done all I know to do. See, you can't save yourself. He said, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and go to hell, or are you going to believe God? Had a big old Bible. He just left me sitting there like a dummy. He got on out here about somewhere about like this. And you know what happened? The light come on. The wind blew. And it's been blowing ever since. I didn't see it blow, but I know it blew because it's in me. You get stirred up about Jesus, you're liable to get a little excited. That's all right, isn't it? Do you know the Lord I'm preaching about? Brother Marshall, service yours.
Thank God for the wind of God that blows on the heart of a sinner. It brings him or her to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Left to ourselves, depending on ourselves, we will perish. There's no question. There's no hope in us. But oh, thank God there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Resting in him and looking to him, we will be saved. I'd like to share some words of an old invitation hymn just to challenge your heart tonight if you're here without Christ. I know there's so many of us who believe on his name. I rejoice in that. But as our brothers preach tonight, given that specific focus on the new birth and the need for the new birth, believing on the Lord Jesus, I want to repeat these words of this old hymn of invitation because it presses you tonight to what you need to do. Because now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes, right.
The song asks, it says, do not let the word depart, nor close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, O tonight. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, O then be wise. Be saved, O tonight. Our Lord in pity lingers still, and wilt thou thus his love requite? Renounce at once thy stubborn will. Be saved, O tonight. Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe on him, the work is done. Be saved, O tonight. That what we've mentioned is what our brothers preached to us tonight. Pressing the sinner to Christ. And oh, I can tell you, there's no better place to be crowded to than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, you're trying to scare us. No. If we could, we would. But that won't work, but the Spirit of God must work. And we pray, if you know him not, that tonight he would bring you to Christ.
Amen.
Work sweetly in your heart. Bring you to that conviction you need. Bring you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Nathan, do you have a hymn of invitation or song for us?
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Trusting only in thy name.
Would I seek thy face?
When I see thy face.
Heal my wounded, broken spirit.
Heal my wounded, broken spirit.
Save me by thy grace. Put it so plainly to Brother Bearden. Are you going to go to hell? Or are you going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? We would ask you that tonight. Outside of him, there is no salvation.
That's right.
But praise God, in him is plenteous mercy and full salvation.
Right.
We rejoice in that fact. I want you to consider that. Now, Brother James said he had a song that was to be sung. Brother, you feel like singing that for us?
I could, but I don't think it's necessary at this point.
All right. Thank you, brother. We appreciate your serving the Lord with us this week. Grateful for God's goodness. Thank God for every young person that's been here. Thank God for every soul that's been here. But thank God that he's been here.
Yes, amen.
And I'm glad that he's spoken to our hearts. If you need any help being pointed to Christ, I'd love to do that. I'd love to point you to him. Salvation's not in this preacher, though. It's in Christ.
Yes.
But if we can help you, the desire of our hearts to do that, seek out someone who knows him here tonight, then we might be a help. But again, it's in looking to Christ. It's in believing on him. Trusting this beloved Savior, the one who died on the cross. There is no other. No one else died for sinners. No one else could die for sinners but the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God.
Indeed.
He did that. And then when he was buried, death could not keep him. Hallelujah. He got up that third day morning. He's alive. He's seated in glory.
Yes.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. We point you to him tonight as our brother's done. And we stand together, brothers and sisters, grateful for God's goodness to us. As we conclude in prayer, if you need to linger, we invite you to do so. Mm-hmm. Again, waiting on the Lord is worth it. If you need to do so, do so. Make sure you found mercy in God's Son. You as a child of God have a need to linger. You wait before it as well.
That's right.
Long to see the Spirit. Spirit of God blow through this house in mighty power, saving power. Our brother Justin, would you speak us in prayer?
Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us tonight. Father, I thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news.
Yes.
Lord, that you have not abandoned us in our fallen state. Thank you that you gave your son to die in our place. Father, I thank you for the day that you made that real in my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
That Jesus Christ took my sins and died where I should have died.
Yes.
Took all the punishment that I deserved upon himself. Father, I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I bless the Lamb of God.
Yes, yes.
Taketh away the sin of the world. Father, we know tonight that our hope is in Christ and in Christ alone.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you would stamp that upon every heart this evening. I pray, Father, that you would imprint that upon every mind this evening. Lord, even after that we're dismissed from this service, Lord, you would continue to speak to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I pray for those who yet do not know you. Father, you would go with them tonight. I'm so thankful that you're long-suffering.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that you delight in mercy. You're full of compassion. And I pray that, Lord, you would continue to speak to hearts even tonight as we pillow our heads.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Father, for that soul that is guilty before you. That, Lord, you not afford them any rest.
Yes.
Until they come to you.
Yes.
In faith and repentance. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, you would continue to trouble souls.
Yes, please.
Father, I remember days when I tried to run, or when I tried to resist,
mm-hmm.
when you spoke to my heart, but I'm thankful that you overcame me.
Yes.
Lord, you can overcome any sinner in this
yes.
place,
yes.
even tonight. Father, we commit them to you. We know that they're in good hands if they're in your hands.
Yes.
And we pray, Father, that you would do the work that's necessary to bring them to an end of themselves, bring them to faith in Christ. Father, I pray you'd help us to continue to see